Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
It's been another busy news week, and we like to review the major stories of the week here on the Black Information Network. Today, we are joined by Black Information Network news anchors Vanessa Tyler and Mike Stevens to discuss this week's major stories. This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Ramses Ja. All right, Vanessa Tyler, welcome back to the show. How have you been?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for having us back.
Fantastic. And my man, Mike Stevens, welcome back. Sure. Man, tell me a little bit about what's going on.
All is good, man. It's always our pleasure to be here with you.
All right. All right. So we got some very important news to cover. A lot of it, if I'm honest. So let's get to it. First up, the tragedy that we are all now very familiar with was making headlines all this week after the horrific collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge. Vanessa, why don't you give us a quick summary of the story along with any recent updates? And then Mike, we'll come to you for your thoughts.
Well, the recovery operation continues, and it has not been easy. In fact, yeah. It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. The water is cold and full of debris. At last check, they were able to recover two bodies. Those numbers, of course, are changing by the day, hour. Mm-hmm. Workers that were submerged in a red pickup truck, maybe they were trying to get away, and then they couldn't. We know that a fully loaded 984-foot-long carrier ship lost power and propulsion and ran smack dab into support pillars. Now, the reports at the time the bridge was built, of course, named after Francis Scott Key. Our history books tell us he wrote the Star Spangled Banner. But when that bridge was built between like 1972 and 1977, it was not constructed to withstand such a hit. Yeah. And of course, there's a Black governor there, the only one in America, Governor Moore, and then a Black mayor of Baltimore, Brandon Scott, both there in charge. And there is a promise from the president to build back because the economy depends on it down there.
Mike, let's get your thoughts here.
Well, two quick things. Piggybacking off of what Vanessa mentioned, you know, they have a Black governor and Black mayor there. And it was great to see them standing up and being able to answer the questions and handle whatever it is that they need to do. That has been one of the knocks against Black politicians by some who say they, you know, they're not ready for that or they're to this or to that. But here we see two Black men standing up and handling their responsibilities. And nobody could imagine something like this would happen when you're sworn into office. I mean, who knew? Yeah. It was great to see them doing what they need to do. And the other part of it, too, I thought about is the infrastructure. You know, people have kind of criticized President Biden for the infrastructure bill, you know, not really giving it its props, I think. But this is a reminder. This is not the first bridge collapse there's been. This is not the first road collapse. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be updated in the country. And I think his infrastructure plans have been helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to your point, I was reading about the bridge and there is something like 615,000 bridges. And there are about maybe 17,000 that don't have a certain redundancy. I think that's the word that is helpful in situations like this one. And the Francis Scott Key Bridge is one of those 17,000 bridges that needs to be modernized and brought up to that standard so that things like this don't happen, because any loss of life is tragic. But when I found out that some of the all of the individuals that they're now attempting to recover, not rescue, were either migrants or from Mexico or Guatemala or wherever they were from, and they were road workers. And then indeed, it'll be Latinos that will rebuild that bridge. My heart broke even more because, you know, for those that know, you know, I'm based in Arizona. So a lot of the people that I protest with, a lot of the people that I, you know, our fellow activists out here are people that have to deal with the brunt of the modern day racism in this country, particularly racism to our brothers and sisters that lived here before this was the United States of America. As you know, Arizona was Mexico for but initially it was not America, but the people who are from Mexico, or Mexican people who are Americans because the land transferred, still deal with a lot of the racism that comes with the immigration debate and all that sort of stuff. And to know how hardworking these people are, you know, my heart goes out to that community, knowing that these men who were fathers, who were husbands, who were hard workers, they were good people, and they lost their lives. And, you know, I would call that in service to this country, too. You know, the president himself said that the bridge was important to the economy, and so they're doing their job for this country, the same as any of us. That was very, very hard to hear for me. And that's the part where I have the toughest part with it. So indeed, we do need to update our infrastructure. We do need to give, you know, the president props where, you know, credit where it's due. I don't give him all the credit he wants, but I'll give him credit where it's due. Absolutely. And, you know, we just need to round that last corner and hopefully avoid tragedies like this in the future. So moving on. In Minnesota, a university scholarship created in honor of George Floyd for Black students has spurred a federal civil rights lawsuit. So, Mike, this time, let's start with you. Share some details about this case, and then Vanessa will follow up with you.
You know, this surprised me, but then again, it didn't. And I don't know if we, I'm pretty sure we talked about it when it happened previously, when the president passed executive actions to help Black farmers who had been discriminated against for years, and this was a celebration.
Yeah, that's right, we did, yeah.
And then the white farmers who felt this was racist or wanted money, they sued, and so the Black farmers didn't get the help. So this is another example, you know, a legal scholarship taking place at Minnesota's North Central University. It was named after George Floyd, and those who are suing say this violates the Civil Rights Act of 1964 because it's only open to Black students. So they're calling this discrimination, or maybe reverse discrimination. But no, it seems like whenever there are opportunities or plans in place to help right the wrongs of the past, to make the playing field equal, something will happen like this where there's pushback and they all know, you know, That's not fair because, you know, they're getting help and we're not. I don't know where, I don't know exactly how you fight that. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's going to end up in some sort of legal decision, but there are all kinds of scholarships and grants that are being offered specifically, say, to Black women or African-Americans. Many companies offered, although they didn't all keep their promises, but, you know, to help Black folks out in different ways. And it just seems like there's so much pushback against that kind of a thing.
Sure. Vanessa, let's hear from you.
I totally agree with Mike. There is something insidious happening right now, and it's like a runaway train. They won't stop. There are those who feel so strongly in their bones that Black people, despite the poverty of many, are getting an unfair advantage. Anything and everything must be eliminated. And yet, this is another example. It started with, of course, what happened in the college admissions, and it will trickle down to every aspect of American life. So everything will have a fight, whether it's, you know, getting Black kids uniform on a you know, youth baseball league. You know, everything is going to be fought back at this point. It's out of the bag, and they're going for it. And unfortunately, they are winning in many, many instances on getting these things eliminated.
Sure. You know, the entity behind a lot of those attacks you're talking about is called the Equal Protection Project of the Legal Insurrection Foundation. Okay. It's headed by Cornell University clinical law professor William Jacobson. And, you know, what they do is they go after minority benefiting scholarships. They go after DEI programs, things like this. These are the reverse racism folks, right? So obviously the head of this William Jacobson is a white man. And their primary question, and Mike, I think that you were making this point, their primary question is, does it exclude white people? Their primary question is not, does it provide equitable access to all people? Because those are two different questions, right? And I think that, you know, when you ask the question, what do we do about this? Where do we go from here? I think it's important for us to consider that once upon a time, we fought for equal rights. We wanted equality in this country because that was a very important, critical first step. We needed equal rights. But the goal of equal rights is equitable access. And so now that all things are equal, indeed, we have white conservative law professors fighting for equal rights. Sure, you know, if we want to go back 50 years ago, which indeed is not 250 years ago, right? But now we need to shift our focus to equity. And that's probably why there's such these pronounced attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion, because equity is a different word. And, you know, Vanessa, I think you were making this point. You know, we ended up here really as a result of 2016. For everyone that did not vote, could not make it, and the people that we all know that did not vote and could not make it. You know, Donald Trump famously won that election. And he got in there with his decidedly conservative agenda, deeply conservative agenda, to take back the country from Obama and this new progressive direction that the country was heading in. And he wanted to be the hero of all of these reverse racism folks, that crowd. You know, that's not the only hill they stand on, but, you know, that's one of their big ones, right? So Donald Trump was in there being Donald Trump. He obviously elected way too many Supreme Court justices, all that feel the way that he feel. They were vetted, you know, so that they could affect these types of things for decades. And when people look back on the importance of elections and how elections don't affect them, and you know, but my life is the same every day, regardless of who sits in what office, I think that this shows just how important elections are. Now, I will say that for people that they cannot find a moral ground to vote for one candidate or another candidate, vote for the candidates that you can vote for. At least show up, right, and shape this reality and let your voices be heard. But, you know, my voice, my vote is, it only counts for one. So with a microphone and an audience, that's the best that I can do. It's another thing also to point out that, Vanessa, you made this point, that these people are, I think the way they frame the problem is they look at themselves like, well, if I don't have access to it, then it's not equal, right? So they look at themselves and they look at individuals and they don't look at communities. They don't look at how systems affect people, right? And when you look at the numbers say, well, this community does have access and is taking advantage of, you know, this economy and this capitalistic model, and this other community is not. And for people on our side, we look at that and say, well, there are barriers. And for people on that side, they say, well, you're just lazy. You're not working hard enough. You're not smart enough. You're whatever. And whatever it is that they can do to dismiss that, any excuse is good enough, except white supremacist systems, which, you know, is something that they are intentionally turning a blind eye to. So they got all their ducks in a row to make these arguments. And if they have, you know, the courts ultimately in position to rule in their favor, then yeah, they can undo a lot of this stuff. They can do more than just take away abortion rights. They can take away quite a bit. But again, what we're looking at now is the progress of that was made by our ancestors and some of the folks who are still with us, you know, in the 60s. So equal is not, that's not Jim Crow. So, you know, that's not nothing. So I don't want it to be all bleak, but I do want to compel people to continue to vote and engage in our democracy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes. And switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BIN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BIN.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Black Information Network news anchors Vanessa Tyler and Mike Stevens are here with us discussing this week's major stories. All right, next up from Atlanta, Black District Attorney Fani Willis survived an inquiry that would have seen her removed from her highly publicized election interference case against former President Donald Trump. After a judge ruled that she can stay on the case, DA Willis had some choice words for Donald Trump as she discussed what's coming next in her case during a recent CNN interview. Vanessa, you're covering the story for the BIN, so tell us more about Fani Willis's interview, and then Mike, we'll hear from you next.
Fulton County DA Fani Willis is a tough lady.
Oh, yeah.
She gets it honestly. Her father is a soldier. You saw that when he testified during the hearing on if she should be kicked off the case. Sure. But I do want to add something else. As we speak, there's a hearing going on. Trump team is trying to get the case thrown out. We'll hear from the judge maybe later today or soon. But, you know, of course, they always try to get the case thrown out initially before a case goes to trial. But that's happening now. But, you know, the Trump team thought they were really stopping her by exposing her affair. And it appears it only toughened her resolve.
Yeah,
she was distracted. But she did make clear to CNN, as you mentioned, that her team was still working and they are ready to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's gearing up. You know, we had the president on tape saying, if you can just find me in this number of votes. So to the Georgia Secretary of State. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the judge rules in this instance. But, you know, they're trying right now to get this case thrown out, and they will continue to try to get her kicked off.
Fantastic. Mike, let's get your thoughts.
You know, Fani Willis spits fire every time she talks publicly. I mean, there's no playing with her. And a lot of people are not comfortable with a strong black woman who is in a position of authority, who speaks well, who has her credentials and so forth. There are still some who say she probably should have made some different decisions in her life and how she's handled some of this. But regardless of that, the black prosecutor, the lead prosecutor that was on the case has now resigned. Mm-hmm. She's still on the case. And as Vanessa said, she mentioned while all this stuff was going on publicly, waiting for the decisions, the hearings and so forth, that they've been continuing to work behind the scenes and are progressing. So, you know, from right now, it looks like this trial is going to happen. When is not clear, but she says they're still getting their ducks in a row and they'll be ready.
Yeah. Yeah. She said famously, the train is coming. So, and she said that they were, you know, as you mentioned, they've been working all through it. So that it was a distraction, but it didn't slow them down. And you know, I like her kind of being at the helm of this, despite this, all this nonsense and noise surrounding her personal life. I kind of like her. She's tough. I think that's how you put it. She is. And, you know, she's not intimidated by him. And, you know, I remember us talking about this before, that black women often come to the rescue of this country time and again. And, you know, at present, I'm kind of proud of her. So, yeah, we'll keep watching and keep you informed as the story continues to develop. But now for our final story. And this story provides us with the following play on words. Did he do it? Or is he innocent? Actually, there's a couple of plays on words. Now there's a whole new phrase, you know, that is people are rushing to trademark surrounding this whole thing. But I won't even get into that. Anyway, rap mogul Sean Diddy Combs is back in the news this week. And this time it's Homeland Security that has him in their crosshairs. Mike, bring us up to speed with the latest on this story. And then Vanessa will come to you to close us out.
Yeah. Did he do it or did he not? There's a lot of layers to this.
Sure. Yeah.
So first of all, we want to say it clearly off the top that Diddy and his lawyers have denied all the allegations against him, mm-hmm. which include 5 lawsuits. In the most recent case, many of us have seen the video now of these, not FBI agents, but federal agents who were, you know, of course, in fatigues and so forth, at 2 of his homes simultaneously in Miami and Los Angeles. It's really not clear what they were looking for, but we did see them bringing some people out, you know, arresting or at least taking them out in that sort of atmosphere. They're wearing the full tactical gear, guns are drawn, and it seems like that's what infuriated Diddy the most, that they called gross overuse of military level force in serving search warrants. But that's the way they do it, even when it's white collar crime or Republican or Democratic, whoever it is. You know, they come out, they don't play. They come out fully armed and ready to go.
Yeah.
And as Chris Thompson, our producer, mentioned to me earlier, when the feds, come out for that kind of a thing, they have their things. They're ready to go.
Yeah.
They've already done the background. They know what they're looking for and so forth. But of course, we'll see what happens with all this. There are all kinds of allegations that Diddy sex trafficked, their alleged sex with minors. And this one is so significant because he has been involved in some of the biggest music stars over the years. Usher, who has said some wild things since all this happened. Biggie, Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige. I mean, there's so many people that he's been involved with over the years, and there's so many rumors. The truth will come out. More details will come out during this process. But again, Diddy says they've done nothing wrong. It should also be mentioned that the same prosecutor who is working on this case is the same one who came after R. Kelly and secured convictions. That's the U.S. Attorney Damian Williams, who is black, by the way. So we're going to see what happens, how this plays out down the road. I think there's a lot of stuff that people have speculated about that's going to be uncovered.
Vanessa, let's get you to weigh in.
All I can say is people are coming out of the woodwork. Every day there are stories from people who claim to either saw the wild parties or say they've been approached by the mogul himself. I even read something where Uncle Luke of Two Live Crew said it was too wild for him to stick around because the later it got, the wilder things allegedly became. So, of course, there have been rumors for years, and if Wendy Williams could tell it, of course, she's got her own medical health issues, severe health issues, by the way. And of course, we constantly pray for her. But, she's been talking about it for decades, the situations with Puffy or Diddy. When you say that the prosecutor involved in R. Kelly is on this case, that doesn't sound very good, because right now R. Kelly's under the jail.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We just have to wait and see. It's a shame. Puffy was extreme. He's from New York. I'm from Harlem. So, he's, he was somebody we were all proud of. But, these allegations are just too much.
I'm not going to say too much here. I obviously, if there's any victims, then, they need to be centered and prioritized. But, Dave Chappelle said it best. What is a black man without his paranoia intact? Right. So, again, I may see patterns where they don't really exist. I might be imagining things, but I just think it's interesting that these black men in recent years have lived long careers, and at the end of the long careers, they end up, the story ends up getting chronicled about how they were somehow sexual deviants. And that's not to say it's not true. It just,
right,
it's,
starting
it's
with
interesting.
Bill Cosby on down. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting that it's just a long career, and then at the end of it, then they, again, I'm not trying to say it's not true. It's just, that pattern, that black man paranoia is starting to kick in. I'm like, so is something else going on here that I'm missing? So anyway.
Bill Cosby, Russell Simmons, they all have issues right now.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you mentioned R. Kelly. And again, I'm not trying to say that's not true. I'm just trying to say it's just interesting how it almost seems like the same story playing out over and over again. So that part feels a little unusual, but sure. So before we go, lastly, I want to make sure that we take a moment to congratulate you, Vanessa, on the launch of your new podcast. I've listened to a bit of it, and I'm in love with it. And I want you to take a few seconds and share a quick overview about your Black Land podcast with our listeners.
Oh, thank you very much, Ramses. Black Land is a big bouquet of Black life, the roses and the thorns. I let people tell their stories, and we were talking about sex trafficking. Tune in right now, where I have a compelling piece about a Black woman who has been trafficked, abused, used in drugs, very similar to what authorities are looking at in the Combs case. You have to really hear her story.
Oh, yeah.
It's up right now on Black Land, and we have a new episode up every week. Black life and the place where we occupy the land on which we stand. Black Land.
It's fantastic. And that is a personal endorsement from me. I spent some time this week. It's a newer show, and it was timely that I, tapped in. But once I started listening, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. So yeah, I wanted to make sure that our listeners knew about that as well. So thank you very much for sharing that. And thank you both, as always, for your insight. Once again, today's guests are Black Information Network news anchors Vanessa Tyler and Mike Stevens. This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show was produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I'm your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media, and I'll be hosting another episode of Civic Cypher this weekend on a station near you. For stations, showtimes, and podcast info, check civiccypher.com. And join us Monday as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.